There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we tell stories about and then debate a controversial topic.
And then we research and splice in all the mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning.
Today we are talking about vlogging. I am going to start with a story about when we weirdly kidnapped a child while vlogging on vacation. It's true. It's insane. And Mitch is going to take us back to our cringy first vlogs about when we started ASAP Science. And then we're going to get into our heated debate about whether vlogging is good or bad. I hate it. Mitch loves it. So it will get heated. Today's side notes will be presented by me, Greg, and Rachel.
Hey friends, let's get into it.
Why, hello, and welcome back to the podcast.
Long time no see.
For all the listeners, thank you for tuning in, coming back.
Thank you so much, listeners.
You make our day, you make our week, you make our
How many months have we been doing this? Since
you couldn't
June?
Get me to... I think we have like 30-some-odd episodes.
So 30 weeks. And we took some time over Christmas.
So we must be coming up close to a year eventually. When did we start?
May?
Gosh, I don't know anything.
Yes, Rach.
I honestly forgot how we started a podcast when we just sat down.
Wait, like, what? What do you mean you forgot how we started? What?
You know that happened. You were here.
Actually, I can't even think about where did we do it?
I meant literally how we start by saying hello.
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay, should we just jump into comment corner? And you're like, no, we have to like say hello first.
Oh, I thought you meant like you forgot where we did it. I'm like, I forgot where we did it.
We were in this, very
in this room,
but it
but
was
there
like
was,
a much
different.
More disgusting setup.
Wow,
we've
yeah.
glowed up to a room with some foam on the
you
walls.
Literally put black foam everywhere. I don't know if it's that much better. And we pulled the cheap IKEA curtain.
We have space though now, a little bit. Like
yeah,
a few, it's like 2 meters.
We have space. I'm so squished and I'm so claustrophobic. It's so hot in here and I'm sweating. Anyways.
Comment corner.
Okay, so I have a comment here, and I know you can't see this, but I'm holding this trashy iPhone in my hand. It's
oh my god!
Because Greg pulled up the comment for me. It's obviously
it's
related
iPhone.
To our episode on iPhone versus Android. And this comment is from Lucy at Spiraling Shape. That's a cool username. But the comment says, hashtag SideNotePodcast. I'm an Apple user, but definitely know I'm on a sinking ship.
Oh.
Yes, Lucy, come to the dark side. It's the user friendliness and convenience that keeps me from changing to Android.
Yes, Lucy, the user friendliness.
No. Okay, I have a bone to pick with everyone that says Apple is user friendly. What does that mean to you, Greg? What
oh,
is user friendly?
Well, when I pick it up as a user, I find it extremely friendly. It's easy to use, it's easy to organize, it's minimalist. everything fits into it. When I go to a party, I can toggle it.
I feel like this is a talking point that like evolved in like 2008 or
like
whenever.
Evergreen as
no,
a, like,
it's just like there was a time when maybe Apple was focused on user friendliness, but there's no way that an iPhone is more user friendly than like the mainstream Samsung phone or the mainstream.
Yes, because whenever I pick up a mainstream Samsung phone, I'm like, this is a mess. It's literally a mess.
That's when I realized that like iPhone users are just dumb.
Or
like they're just because when you use an Android, you're like
just alienated millions of people. Or yeah. They're design conscious and they're users and they're friendly.
I disagree, but I just think if you can't adapt to an Android interface, there's actually something wrong with you.
Okay, one thing I will say is that my iPhone...
I'm in a mood
there's, okay,
today.
There's not something wrong with you. My iPhone case is disgusting, and whenever people say it, they're like, that's disgusting. Like, look at it. And it's like, yeah, it's definitely getting rid of the minimalist effect that it's just like a broken, disgusting,
like,
bacteria-ridden...
Yeah,
it actually looks brown, but
get
it's supposed
case.
To be blue. I know, but that's... Oh my God, I found it! Wow, I just found
some
a card that...
Person.
Oh, this is Lupita Nyong'o's publicist.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Okay.
Won't give the details, but...
Braggy.
I pretended, like, not to care about Lupita Nyong'o when I was like, oh, interesting, cool, like, what's she in? Like, what's her day-to-day like? Like, I just, like, got all the information I could by pretending I, like, didn't care.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Gregory Brown,
yes.
What did you learn this week?
So this week, I learned that... They very recently discovered that scientific canon discovered that three species of flying squirrel give off UV fluorescent pink colors. So like obviously lots of birds and butterflies and fish.
What does it mean?
They fluoresce under in an ultraviolet spectrum, right?
Okay.
But we can't ever see or notice this because we do not see UV light.
Right.
But if we had a UV flashlight and like shone it in the ocean, we could see the UV fish, the fish that give off UV light. Or
I
if we
have a question, and I don't know if I'm dumb. How do they know it's pink?
Because that's the color that it actually gives off when you look at it with a UV flashlight or a UV light.
I see. Because
yeah,
like, it's technically not
orange.
Pink.
No. But
the color pink is in the spectrum that we can see.
Yeah,
right?
Like when they use UV technology to shift it to visible light for our eyes, it appears pink. And it would probably appear pink maybe to those like animals that can see UV light. But mammals, like flying squirrels, it's a lot more rare to like give off like UV fluorescence,
mm-hmm.
whereas birds, which can actually see in that spectrum, it makes a lot more sense.
That's so cool.
So yeah, it's so cool. I love this story because it's like a guy in his backyard who was a scientist with a UV flashlight who noticed it. Like, and I was just like, what a quirky little dude that like
and
goes outside.
And it took them until 2019 to figure that out. That seems surprising.
Well, they're not necessarily
that
like
no
doing
one
that
like
all the time.
Was using like. UV spectrum goggles or whatever.
Well, they didn't think they would think, why would we look at like a mammal to look for this type
but
of
I don't
thing?
Even mean a scientist, just like a random human who happened to have, I don't know, is that a technology that people just have?
Well,
not.
I guess this guy is a biologist and he does do this.
Okay.
But also,
cool.
It's only three species of flying squirrel. It's not all flying squirrel.
That's really cool.
But so, they think this is the coolest part, is that owls give off the exact same pinkish color. And owls are the predator of flying squirrels and they can see in UV light. So they think what it is that the flying squirrels have evolved to, like, when they fly, give off this pink that camouflages them to look like an owl.
Whoa.
So that owls won't eat them.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just from them discovering this pink. They don't know if that's actually the case.
But
I'm like, that's really interesting. If
hypothesis.
Owls give it off too, it makes sense that they're like, oh, I'm just a flying owl. Don't touch me. And I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because the other end of the spectrum is that they just randomly turn pink and there's no reason.
No, I'm sure it's not random. I mean, it's like when you realize this spectrum of color that like bees see flowers in. It's so cool and pretty when they give you like illustrations of what it would look like.
Yeah. And butterflies and birds give it off for mating and stuff like that. It's like so cool to think that we can't see it.
We're
and
it's
happening
so
all around us.
Pathetic.
Yeah, we have our measly little UV spectrum of the electromag that we can see. It's pathetic.
All right. What did I learn this week, Matt?
Oh, yeah. And you, Matt, what did you?
Thanks for asking. So I learned a little tidbit about how to eat healthy. Basically, a study looked into thousands of students. So it was mostly people between the ages of 18 and 35.
Students, they eat garbage.
Exactly. And what they found out, and this isn't like advice that you're going to love to hear.
What?
But simply they, because a lot of people realize that like food is one of those big contributors, like more so than exercise.
Are we talking like university, like eating craft dinner? Or are we talking like students in like high school?
These were students in university, 18
to 35. So they're controlling their own food.
But they were students who didn't necessarily have a strict diet or exercise regime.
Okay.
But when they asked them to exercise after a few weeks, they automatically, intrinsically switched their diets.
Even to be healthier?
Even though they were specifically asked not to.
What? So wait, to be healthier, though. I'm confused.
Their diets became healthier. They started eating less fat. And it's believed that, you know, the way your hormones shift and stuff once you are exercising decreases your desire to eat fatty foods. And they often switch to, like, leaner meats and fruits and vegetables.
Even when they're asked not to.
Yeah, they were told, like, we just want to monitor your exercise. But they would naturally switch their eating habits, which was interesting.
Wow. So it's, like, working. It's all, like, a positive feedback loop of working out and eating while I'm working out
and eating. Because I think there's been a lot of discussions lately about how, you know, if you run for like an hour, you actually don't burn that many calories.
What?
Like, it's sometimes surprising when you look at a calorie thing on like a treadmill.
Actually, yeah, whenever I run on a treadmill, I'm like, I'm exhausted.
Like
this
bar.
Is not fair. This is like one bite of a chocolate bar because I used to do that and like be like, this is unfair.
But this is a way to kind of realize it all ties in together. Like, exercise breeds healthy eating, breeds better exercise. Like, it kind of is a loop that fulfills.
I mean,
itself.
Like, anecdotally, whenever I'm like feeling like lazy, I do end up like binging a little bit of bad food, but that's usually like induced by a hangover. So I don't know. Maybe there's other extreme.
No, I feel that way when I'm exercising. It's like I almost like want to keep it up. I'm like, oh, but I've been exercising, so like I want to eat well.
Yeah, but this is saying for people who aren't even consciously thinking about it.
That's correct.
Necessary.
Yeah, but I wonder if that was part of what happened to them, where they were like, well, I'm doing this, and I feel like my body needs these like lean meats, these fruits and vegetables.
LOL. The advice is really like, if you want to eat better, work out.
I know. That's why I was like, it's cool advice, but it's also like not fun to hear.
We're just waiting for the day where they're like, the study comes through. They're like, burgers at McDonald's make you lean, and you're like, wow, but that's never gonna happen.
Story time.
Today we are talking about vlogging.
Ooh.
What is the definition of vlogging? Obviously, it's based on blogging with a B.
Video blogging.
So it's like.
Did you not know that?
No, I'm trying to say we should explain. Some people might not know what vlogging is.
If you don't know what vlogging is, I think.
I love that laughing in people's faces just because we vlogged.
I was laughing at you if you didn't know the like what the word came from. What vlogging is just, a video form of blogging your life specifically. So there's different kind of vloggers. Some people daily vlog where they literally just capture the daily happenings of their life and typically post it on YouTube. Like,
barf.
I'm sure.
We're coming up
I'm
with our
sure
opinions.
That happened and it was. Its inception was before YouTube, but YouTube. I think kind
like,
of like popularized
what people think
it.
Of like a vlogger.
Yeah,
like
there's also people who like weekly vlog. And then there's a level of vlog that's not necessarily always your life, but people who just kind of talk to a camera.
Well, we vlogged.
We did vlogged.
Those were weekly vloggers.
Yeah, so and they were vlogs of our life.
Of our lives.
Not necessarily just our thoughts.
Okay, so first thing I will say about our old vlogs before I get into my story about vlogging. I rewatched them and I was like, these are so painfully boring. Like, we did not edit.
No.
We did not edit. Like, now that I watch, like, you know, Emma Chamberlain and all this, like, new age of vloggers are very, like, fast, and it really keeps. There would be, like, 5-minute segments of us opening our YouTube play button. We're like, it's like literally like the crackling of the tape, like cutting it open. And we're like, and then I also was like, were we scared or embarrassed? Like, we were unenthused. Like, we didn't, it felt like.
Right, we weren't like, oh my God, it's here. We were
like, the way we're talking right now is we would be like, hello, okay, opening YouTube play button.
And it was like. Why did we have an accent?
It was honestly like, I think that we were nervous and we've like come into like our own a lot more or something.
Right.
It's like, when I watched it, I was like, this is so brutal. But one other thing I would say is that at the time we were vlogging, it was like. The early vlogs are like when we were doing a photo shoot because we were on ads on subways in Toronto, when we were promoting our book. And I remember thinking like, oh, our lives are so boring. We need to stop vlogging. But looking at them, I'm like, this is like such an exciting time of our life. And I'm like, now I'm like, our lives are fully boring. You know what I mean? Like, looking back, I'm like, this was all crazy things that were happening. We were like,
always
in New York.
Well, this will tie into our debate a little bit because I think, I think you have a perspective. But when you look back on them, they're not boring. I don't think they're boring. But we'll get to that.
I think we didn't know how to speak.
Well, that is true of also ASAP Science. Like, if you listen to the first videos of me talking and even you talking, our voices are completely
Everyone
different.
Everyone called me the honey badger.
Also, if you watch our original ASAP Thought or Greg and Mitch videos, like, you learn to kind of, you figure out
My
your flow and your intonation.
My face would always be frozen in this, like, horrible, like, angry, like, resting evil face. Anytime you were speaking in old ASAP Greg and Mitch videos, I would just be staring at the camera like I wanted to murder whoever was watching me.
Oh, my God.
And then I realized now, like, I
then
guess
then people
I just,
will be like, why is Greg so mad?
Yeah, but then I think I was, like, actually so nervous. Like, and it's just, like, anyways. So, my story is about how vlogs are fully fake and, like,
ridiculous because me and Mitch used to literally fight press record and be like, hi, we're about to board the plane. Blah, blah, blah. Like, they're just such, like,
You're getting into my debate. Just tell your story.
Okay. So the one thing I really do like about our vlogs from the time that we did vlog, you can go and look at the Greg and Mitch channel and type in vlog and see them all, was when we would vlog on our trips.
Yeah.
So we did do a vlog every week while we were in Japan and Korea, and I love that those exist.
Right. Because they really... It is like a video journal where you get to relive the situation.
Exactly. And that was a time where I was like, I felt like we were being more genuine because we were actually like, oh my God, this temple's crazy. So this is about a time when we turned off the camera because something like... horrifying and what would you even say? Like, it was just, okay,
well, I don't know what story you're telling.
It's about the time that we kidnapped a child.
Okay, so
we
did not actually kidnap a child, but like
we did. So we were in Korea.
It's not in the vlog. It's not real.
It is not in the vlog. We filmed about a mere 30 seconds of this car trip, and then we pressed stop recording.
So what's the context? We're in Korea.
We have just left Seoul, this beautiful, giant metropolis of culture and entertainment, and we go to a small town in Korea that has like 7 million people. Like, their version of a small town is extremely populated with like a really amazing infrastructure of like transit. But anyways, we get to this city. We're with my friend Joel, who has worked in Korea in this small town. So he's built relationships with families, and he's coming back to visit these families.
Right.
So we meet someone who he used to live with, and like there's this like big, exciting meeting when they meet each other. He hugs the mom, he hugs the kids because he used to be friends with them. We're like, hi.
And we're with them because he has invited us out to come meet this family that he knew really well.
Exactly.
And we were just like, yeah, it's so like, fun when you're so traveling to meet people who are actually from there.
Exactly.
And have them show you around.
And they're like, we are going to take you to the best vegetarian Korean restaurant in all of Korea because Joel's vegetarian. It's about a 45-minute drive to this like bottom of this mountain that we had climbed earlier that day. So we get it. It's pretty far away.
Yeah.
And so the mom and the son that Joel is friends with is like, why don't you ride along with them?
Like, yeah. Like, how old was he? Like, maybe like 4 or 5?
Five,
he's
six?
Like a little boy, but he's so nice. He's
and
so excited.
Outgoing.
Yeah, he's like,
and we have to take
loves our friend. He gave him a big hug.
Yeah, like, and we have to take two separate taxis because
there's too many of us.
So he gets into the taxi. We start vlogging. Like, we're on our way to the vegetarian restaurant. Like, say hi to the camera. Blah, 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 blah. It's nighttime, and we start driving, and we're driving, and all of a sudden, this kid starts to sort of realize that he's alone in a car with three white strangers.
And he doesn't really speak English at all.
He does not speak English, and he starts to get so scared, because we're driving in the darkness with a strange taxi driver.
Away from his family,
And he starts going, like, crying out, like, mom!
After being so happy and exciting at first, he was just,
and
like,
he's grabbing our arms, like, pulling. And then I'm like, this is also when Joel, you know, he's told us he knows Korean. Yeah, oh, yeah, Joel knows how to speak Korean. We're like, Joel, tell him your mom's okay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't know how to say your mom's. I'm like, you don't know how to say your mom's
like
okay.
You've lived here for years.
Like, yeah, your mom is just, we're going to be there in half an hour. Like, you told me you could speak Korean. So this kid is just screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's saying. I'm like literally like patting his arm, like, calm down, like, calm down. How do
and
you
he's
say
probably
calm
like,
down?
Don't touch me.
The taxi driver is like, am I a part of a literal child heist?
Yeah. Like, I was like, what? They didn't acknowledge or say anything.
Like, we were
Sure that they spoke English either, so I think they were just like, this is not my job.
Staying out of this. I know I'm supposed to drive to this small town, but I was actually surprised the taxi driver didn't, like, I don't know, call the cops. So then we beat the family to this small town restaurant. So we get out of the car, and we're then standing in the street, three white guys, and this kid is screaming, mom!
Like, on the street.
Like, on
people
the street.
People walking by.
And we're trying to calm him down. And then, the saddest part was that I think the mom might have maybe realized how long it took to get there. But when she just saw her kid crying in the street with us.
Probably,
and when she got out of the car, she ran to him as if, like, we had literally, like, they hadn't seen each other in years.
Like, he had been
the
stolen.
The kid is crying and screaming, like, hugs his mom. They hug so much. And she's like, I'm so sorry.
My
and
God.
I was like, oh, my God. And then we just, like, go in and have a nice vegetarian meal. But it was, like,
it was so intense.
Traumatic.
Yeah, traumatic for him, I'm sure, but also for us.
And there's the language barrier, too. I was like, I can't even explain to you that. We're going to be okay. We are not stealing you. We're not taking you home and ripping you from your mom's arms.
I'm sure he didn't think we were stealing him, but I'm sure he just had no context of, like, am I going somewhere else? Like, am I going to see my family again?
I hope that didn't mess him up for life.
It probably did.
I was so mad at Joel, too, because I was also just like, Joel, like, he was
why
like,
did
no.
this happen?
He was like, come with us. Oh, my God, he's my best friend. We used to, like, always arm wrestle. I'm like, 2 years ago you did. Oh, God.
Long story short, like, that started as a vlog. Did not make the cut for the vlog.
Did not make the cut. That is how
but
you
there
would
are many YouTubers
off.
This day and age who would have kept that.
They would have been like, oh my god, story time. I stole a child. I stole a Korean
that's
child.
Title, that's the title of this segment on YouTube. Story time, I stole a Korean child.
Let's see how that does.
We live in a world of clickbait. Clickbait titles are usually sensational. Who can forget Logan Paul's infamous vlog filming while walking through Japan's suicide forest? And clickbait titles are usually intentionally incomplete. For example, a good clickbait title would be like, I got into an Uber with Ariana Grande's pet pig. You won't believe what happened next.
Who's getting custody of Piggy's mouse? I am.
Traced back to the 80s, there is a reason clickbait has existed for centuries, which is that it friggin' works.
Winner, Genyo.
Clickbait takes advantage of what is known as the gap theory of curiosity. This psychological theory states that we as humans are hyper aware of the gap between what we know and what we want to know. Essentially, our brains are designed to need to know the answer. Sensational headlines that are intentionally incomplete effectively generate these gaps in the audience's minds, enticing people to click through to resolve them. This is why, from a neurological perspective, clickbait headlines drive more traffic than a comprehensive headline that provides a good synopsis, because clickbait leaves a gap that we humans want to fill, so we click. What's wild is that what happens after we click doesn't even really matter. Just anticipating the new information rather than the actual information itself leads to a release of our favorite thing, dopamine.
Dopamine machine.
It's the actual clickbait, not the content, that gives the reader pleasure. We're all just trying to fill the gaps in our busy, information-inundated lives. And here is a little extra info we found out while researching this, which is that a 2015 study found that the average human attention span is decreasing, and human attention spans are currently shorter than that of a goldfish.
See, I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Short-term memory loss.
Okay, whoa, maybe our goldfish brains explain the overwhelming popularity of Logan Paul. Good luck, Homo sapiens. May we evolve and prosper.
So Greg brought up, obviously, that we used to vlog on a weekly basis. And
how long do you think we did that for?
I think we have like 30 some odd vlogs.
Whoa!
And it was like not every week, but especially when we would travel or do something that we thought was cool that we wanted to remember, we do it. But what even less people know is that I was actually a daily vlogger for like a year. You know this.
Wait,
so I lived in a house of YouTubers.
Oh, wait, at Apprentice A.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You meant like you secretly did.
I worked at a place that we would make YouTube videos, but on a day-to-day basis, we would daily vlog. And I lived there for maybe like 10 months to a year or something like that. I don't remember exactly how long. So
insane. Yeah, you are insane.
I went in because I was interested in editing. That's what got us into YouTube, and that is where we started ASAP Science. So we're going to do something a little different this week. I wanted to pull up a clip of the first time ASAP Science was ever captured on camera. I have two short clips. So if you are only listening to the audio version, we're going to be playing them on the YouTube if you want to watch the clips
of
them as well.
Subscribe. Otherwise, like and subscribe or
I'll
kill myself.
Try and give you some context. So the first one is actually just me. You're not in it, Greg. The second one actually has Greg being online for the first time
I can only imagine that.
I just thought I would play a little bit of this first clip, which is the first time I ever taught. It was just a day after we had launched the first ASAP Science video.
And this
ever.
Is a daily vlog from Apprentice A.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
No longer running anymore, but we would daily vlog everything. And we're just going to listen
edit
to it.
That?
And
you?
No, there was one of the people in the house that would edit it every single day.
Wow.
Saskia. Thanks for doing that.
That's a really cool name.
Let me just pause this. So we're just going to like listen.
It's what is it labeled as? Vlogging Heights. Science.
Yeah. And this is June 7th, 2012. So this is
you look like Harry Styles.
7 years ago.
Oh my God, you look
isn't
very
that,
similar.
Is that how you add 2012 to 2009? Yeah. Okay. Like 6.5 years ago. Oh, but yeah, does that make sense?
I don't want to be called out.
Okay, we'll watch a little bit of this moment. I'm more excited to see Greg's reaction to him on camera.
Wait.
Okay, I already feel so crazy.
Mitch, you are meant to be a vlogger. Like, are you kidding me? Do you like my new room?
I actually think this was one of the first times I had ever taken the vlog myself.
I think I remember watching this and being like, do I need to break up with my boyfriend?
Okay.
He's fully into it.
I'm here this morning to ask you a question, and that question is, do you like science? If you want to see, I've actually got some books here. That one's by Stephen Hawking, The Grand Design, A Short History of Everything, Principles of Genetics.
Okay, I will pause right here, because that textbook is still over there, and you are just throwing these things out here like you've read them.
And no way, wait what I'm about to say.
Oh my God.
About them.
That's so interesting, right? And exploring animal behavior. I've actually read all these beautiful...
You claim to have read them all?
I've read parts of all. I actually have read two of them.
That is like
the other ones were textbooks.
This is like last year. We commit to reading 10 books, and every time you go, well, I started 15 books, but I'm like, I don't think you can count starting a book.
Yeah,
so you
no.
counted reading these books
No.
I read part of them.
Clarification.
I read part of them.
You can count a book if you read halfway through and you no longer like it.
How much of that genetics textbook did you read?
Based on my teacher's suggestion. A little bit of it.
I would say 2%.
Okay, relax. Relax. This is supposed to be a fond memory, Greg.
And you might be wondering why I have them.
Okay. Whoa.
Just let's give context to the people who are listening. So I'm just in a bedroom by myself talking to a camera. I was trying to set up why we were starting.
But it was very authentic of you to not retake, because he just sat into a rolly chair, fell backwards, and went bleh.
I honestly probably did that
a
bunch of
times.
I probably faked that and was like, I got to get the cool little quick.
Oh my God.
No, I
better do some slapstick humor.
Okay.
Whoa! Leg up, like showing everyone your crotch.
Okay.
You look cute, but man spread.
Because of how much I care about it and want to share with people. So I'm going to show you. The channel is actually called ASAP Science. Let's see if I can.
So I want to pause there because you can see that our first video has 150 views.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy to think about the day?
Because this video now has a million views.
This video, yeah. And this is before we probably had
And before we even had a logo.
Those 150 views probably came from, because I was working at this vlogging place, they promoted it and stuff. Like, they helped
kind
of get it off its feet.
Wow, they had a lot of power, didn't they?
But that was just me giving the context. Now I wanted to go to the clip where Greg is introduced to the vlog for the first time ever.
I will preface this by saying... Every time I went into this vlogging house, I was extremely uncomfortable, okay? There's nothing worse for my inner core than a bunch of people performing for a camera. This is when I first saw people who were like, hey, how's your day? Good. Tired. Press record. Hey, is there... Like, I was literally these people are all fully bipolar psychopaths.
Well, that's what happens. Oh, my God. So rude. They're probably listening and watching.
Well, if they're
so
listening,
relaxed.
They probably remember the time that they would go...
No, everyone... That is a thing that happens. And when we did vlogs, too, you put on your happy face when you're vlogging.
We'll get to this in the debate, but I think it's fully insane.
Okay, anyway, this is just you being insecure about what you're about to do on camera.
Oh, my God.
It's actually not
I don't
bad.
Even... I think I'm going to barf.
Oh, that's not it. I obviously was watching this video. Okay. This is June 11th, 2012, so a little bit later.
There's our logo.
I'm filming some ASAP science, which I told you about a little while ago. Here's my setup. And this, for everyone who's wondering, is...
Oh, my God. I do look like I look like a gay honey badger. Like, everyone said I was a honey badger. That's what I look like.
I have to say, when I scroll down, the first comment is, Greg looks so different.
Oh, my God. Drag me.
And that's only from 2 years ago. So someone went back and watched this video.
Okay, I didn't, like, I, like, honestly look insane.
We just have to listen to Greg talking on camera.
I don't... Oh, God.
Project together because we both love science and we thought it'd be a cool way.
There's the face.
Greg had a confession. Remember how I used to be really shy with vlogging and stuff?
Like,
you gotta get used to it. I know. I had to get used to it too. He's around every now and then. He's been in the vlog before, I think, and we've been kind of in the background and stuff. But he was too nervous before to meet you all, so now we thought he'd finally get to meet you. Dun dun dun.
Okay, I literally want
to listen to
that
the audio
so
version.
Sad.
I want you to go come on the YouTube
Looking
clip, watch the video with us because Greg.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It's so visibly uncomfortable sitting on my bed, like, not knowing at all what to do with his body.
Honestly, looking at that person who is me, I'm like, that person is so sad.
Also, can we talk about your hair? Like, it is
so
funny.
It's the opposite of what people get their hair cut now. It's long on the sides.
And it's like, you actually look better as an older man now.
Okay, thank you so much. also, though, that person became a teacher that year. Imagine letting that naked mole rat of a human teach kids. Like, I had no wonder I had no authority. I wouldn't listen to him. What a meek, feeble little man.
So, I mean, I just wanted to talk about these clips. I didn't have a specific story other than this is where ASAP Science began, and there are daily vlogs. We only covered it a couple times.
One
in these daily
sad
vlogs.
Thing I will say is that setup that you see right there of how we film ASAP Science is the exact same setup.
We literally,
six and a half years
for
ago,
those of you
millions of
see
subscribers.
It, it's just a tripod pointing down. Like, you have to awkwardly climb underneath it to draw, and it's not like a high tech setup at all. We still use literally the same setup.
And, like, literally, like, our animator now upstairs, who now animates all of our things, Max. Like, whenever I go up sometimes to, like, animate or to look, I'm just like, oh yeah, the setup. And I'll, like, kind of, like, fix it a little bit. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is just, like, the perfect setup. It's like, no, this is insane.
It's insane.
We've met other people who do similar things. They're like, why don't you get a rig and do it from the ceiling? Yeah. So you have freedom. And we're just like, no, like, it's the exact same setup as it is there, which we just randomly did.
Week, yeah.
And our logo, too, which we thought we were going to change every week.
Here
it's
we
literally,
are, 7 years
see
later.
That dumb marker I used, and now it's like, plastered on. It was been plastered on streetcars in Toronto. Like, it's all sad. Actually,
well, I mean,
amazing.
We'll get into this in the debate, but I'm just curious, like, how it makes you feel in this moment to see a video that captured a moment that we did not know would be so significant.
I mean,
I think that's kind of cool.
See, so my instinct is that, Greg, you're uncomfortable in this video. Greg, you're uncomfortable now. Your instincts are true. Vlogging is purely insane.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go to a side note and we'll get to that in a minute.
This vlog segment of Greg and Mitch from 2012 highlights two types of personalities you can find in your average vlog. For Mitch, it's high energy and positivity that most people commonly associate with vloggers and YouTubers.
Good morning, vlog. Do you like my new room?
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to Listen Vlogs. We hold the heart of productivity lives here. Nailed it. One take.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Lauren, and welcome back to my channel. And
good morning, Jake Pollers. What's Gucci? I love you guys so much. Give me a kiss.
But then Greg is more subdued and shy, and people connect with this personality type, too. If you're like me, you want to give baby fluffy-haired Greg a hug. There is an academic article called Crying on YouTube, Vlogs, Self-Exposure, and the Productivity of Negative Affect. And it examines the idea of intimacy through negative emotions. Not that Greg is crying by any means, but he does look uncomfortable and vulnerable. And this article looks at YouTubers who are known for sharing the more uncomfortable parts of their life, like Trisha Paytas.
I am devastated, I am crushed, and I don't want to make this video, but I know I have to.
Or Zoella.
I'm not too sure why I'm filming this. I think maybe because this is part of my day, and I want you guys to know that I'm a real person, and I'm not perfect, and my life isn't perfect.
The article writes that their popularity points to a booming economy of effective labor, where the exchange of tears for sympathetic ears is consistently in high demand. Essentially, this means that a willingness to be vulnerable is a significant feature of lasting relationships. And in the case of vloggers, subscribers who will stick around for the long haul. Think about times in your own life where you've been there for a friend during a low point, or they were there for you. It likely brought you closer. And on the same but opposite note, sharing in celebratory or good times builds relationships as well. So, both these strategies, sharing the positive and negative, combined with daily input, i.e. daily vlogging, and it's no wonder that so many YouTubers can hold more power than conventional celebrities.
Hello, Side Note listeners. We love you, literally, from the bottom of our hearts. And so we just want to say that to you right now. We also want to say that if you want, you can share on Instagram and Twitter about how you like this podcast so your friends and your family find it. And tag us. You can tag our actual Side Note podcast Instagram, which is at Side Note Pod. Or you can tag me at Whale Watch Me PLZ, that's Greg. Or Mitch, that's at Mitchell Moffitt, that's Mitch. Or Rachel, that's at Rachel Shark, that's Rachel. Okay, I said that more than once. And her thing is at Rachel, her thing. Her handle is at Rachel Shark because she loves sharks. Wow, mine is about whales, Rachel's is about sharks, and Mitch is just about himself, but I think his should be about some sort of marine animal as well. Okay, we'll get back into the debate. We just wanted to say that we love you.
It's time for a debate on whether or not vlogging is a good thing or a bad thing.
Or we should do it.
Or whether we should do it. Actually, okay, I like posing it that way. Like the
argument. No. It's good thing, bad thing, and we should not do it, in my opinion. Okay.
So clearly Greg will be arguing for the fact that vlogging is bad. I will be arguing for the fact that it is good. Greg, do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right, you can start now.
Debate time.
Okay, so vlogging. I do think it is a very horrible idea. Let's start with relationships.
Here we go.
Okay? So as people in a relationship who tried to vlog, and thinking of all the vloggers who have been in relationships who are now not, reading about them, you realize that it creates an extreme amount of pressure around your relationship. And as a couple who has talked about how we don't want to get married because that just increases the pressure, which makes it harder to keep your relationship alive, imagine if that relationship is what paid your bills, or that relationship is what has been open to an audience which then comments on it. So I think from the perspective of being a couple in a relationship and vlogging, I can see why it can be detrimental. Hence, we see all these breakup videos online. And your relationship should not be your job. Your relationship should be your life. Okay, now let's move into family vlogging. And this is where it gets, like, really creepy and weird and messed up. So I think an important way of thinking about this and, like, reading about it is that the entertainment industry with children has been set up in a way to allow... Wow, okay. I'm going to go faster. Which there's regulations about hours, about schooling. You can only work 6 days in a row. You can only work 2.5 hours a day. All of that does not exist when it comes to vlogging your children and family vlogging. And all of the money exists outside of actual, like, labor laws, and that's extremely dangerous. There's a huge issue with, like, parents having then the ability to abuse their kids. Like, that's not going to happen all the time, but there's no one there to actually, like, monitor it. And British psychologists have even talked about that. 2 or 3 years of age, like, your kid might be okay with being filmed, but then that doesn't mean that when they get older, they're not going to resent you and have repercussions for this. And this specific psychologist said that filming your child, putting it online, can lead to emotional distress, mental fatigue, lack of autonomy, and this is what can create generalized anxiety disorder.
10 seconds.
So if you're a parent, it's a really horrible idea to vlog your children. Later at the end, I'm going to drop it here, and then we can get into, you know, the toxicity of YouTube in general, and why would you open yourself
okay,
up to that?
Okay, interesting. You went with a very specific route.
What do you mean, vlogging?
Family vlogs. Okay, I'm going to have to go a little bit broader.
Family vlogs, relationship vlogs, okay. And I will go broader about why you should not open up your life to YouTube.
Okay. Are you ready to time me and actually time me this time?
Yes, I will. Wait, so what do you mean? You always rip me for not timing you. Like, what do you want me to do?
Well, keep a track of it. Half the time I'm like, how much time do
so
I have?
So what do you want
go,
me to...
Oh, 10 seconds. And I'm like, you didn't tell me.
So what do you want me to light you at? 1 minute?
1 minute and 30 seconds and 10 seconds.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, but yeah, you got to keep an eye on
no,
it.
No,
I know my thing is so captivating, but...
Okay, so okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
I would like to just first comment on your idea that, like, you can't vlog because it puts stress on a relationship. We own a business together. That puts stress on a relationship, so
I know.
Should we just throw it all away?
Okay,
there we go.
Continue.
Okay. Vlogging may have some negative health effects on mental health, but also can create communities for people to combat mental health issues. There have been studies have done that have looked at people sharing their stories, destigmatizing mental health, things to do with anxiety. Anxiety is one of the most common mental health issues in especially youth. And I feel like vlogging is a safe space for people to talk out loud and find the people that are like them. I think community building is the most important thing. Stop. Are you looking at this or my notes? I feel insecure when you look at my notes. So you can build your community and you can find people who are like you. I think something that I resonate with in vlogging is like I consider myself more of a nerd. And I think a lot of people who start vlogging don't necessarily have those same communities. They don't necessarily have those same friends in real life. And
1 minute.
Vlogging allows them to find people who like them, find people who are like them. There was a study done in 2014 that followed vloggers that were HIV positive and showed how that community was able to support their groups and how meeting other people, not necessarily meeting, but seeing other people online made them feel happier. You could even do things like learn a new language. A lot of people use YouTube vlogs to, instead of having the pressure of being in conversation, watching, what do you say, like language that is more casual in form of vlogs to
seconds.
Learn a new language. It keeps track of history in terms of like not only your personal history and the things you do, but history of the world. There's moments that are captured in vlog form that are really unique. It allows you to express your creativity. And ultimately, I think
15 seconds.
If you can keep in check the things that are risky about it, just like anything, we don't ban all alcohol because it can be risky. We make sure certain people can't do it and in certain ways it can't be done. I think vlogging is the same. It can be healthy and productive if you let it be.
Okay, that's 2 minutes. And let's get right on into this. Okay.
So okay.
If you curb...
Okay.
Okay. So you're trying to say that if you curb vlogging to make sure that it's healthy, then you'll be able to do it effectively.
That's
the
not
YouTube
really...
algorithm is not designed for that. It is not designed to enhance nuance. It is not designed to enhance positivity. They want divisive content. They want clickbait. So therefore, if you decide that you want to sign up to vlog right now, if you want that vlog to be successful, which inevitably I'm assuming everyone wants, you are then going to go down the rabbit hole of trying to make it something that is divisive and negative in order to get clicks.
Agree.
And that is not going to make you happy. Hence why L. Mills is sad. Hence why Ninja's sad. Hence why every daily vlogger is having burnout right now, because we are all a victim to YouTube's algorithm, which we know is not a good thing.
Right, but I would only argue that that is part of the story, but not the whole. So the algorithm isn't the only it's not the only unit of measurement to like what makes a vlog important. Like, not everyone who vlogs puts it on YouTube. You could vlog your life and put it on your Instagram stories. That's effectively what you do with your Instagram stories. You're sharing your life through video, and not everyone monetizes this. So that's why I think the algorithm is important to notice. That's like the current culture and climate we live in. But people started vlogging long before they could make money off it, long before they thought they could become famous, long before the algorithm even existed. And so I think if we're actually talking about the essence of vlogging, it's more, it can be pure. And not that like every person who did it like 10 years ago didn't have maybe some mental problems that came from that. I don't say that there are no risks, but you're kind of throwing things on top of it that don't have, it's like being like, obviously drinking and driving is important that we stop. The car is an accessory to drinking, though. Like, you can drink and not drive at all and still have a responsible
time
drinking.
It's risky.
It increases the risk when you get in a car.
It's risky to drink and drive, yeah. And I think it's risky to vlog.
Yeah,
I think
it's not just risky, it's irresponsible.
And
yeah.
But you're increasing the risk of actual...
But you vlog your life. You put stories on Instagram.
I think that's completely different. I do
Why?
Not think that is vlogging.
That is literally vlogging.
No, the vlogging, what I picture vlogging is putting it on YouTube and trying to show the level of your life, the mundane aspects of your life. Daily vlogging, those types of videos that you make are supposed to represent the way that you're actually like living your life day to day. They're long form content.
But you're only thinking of the people who are so extreme and are really popular.
No,
like,
we
all know the story of like Logan Paul like going to the extremes on his vlogs, but not everyone does that. There are people who are not pushing themselves to go do more and more extreme things.
Okay, really? You think there's not? But everyone's trying to gain a following online.
But not everyone's willing to sacrifice that. Like, lots of people are not willing to do that.
Literally, a researcher found that they call them micro-celebrities, which I think is what a lot of these vloggers are. You're celebrities to, like, a small amount of people. People who even had very, very low subscriber rates who were vlogging still felt immense pressure. It even said that they could suffer PTSD from the amount of work they're having to do to, A, film their life, B, edit their life, and then expose their life to comments online, which in general are negative, and then the amount of time they spend actually having to try and keep up with their audience by responding to them. It ends up creating this, like, whirlwind of stress and anxiety that is essentially they're trying to do this to make a career, to make money. And I think you're right. Some YouTubers and vloggers can make a bunch of money, and if they're a family vlogger, like, for their kids to put in a savings, and their kid will be fine. Like, that will potentially happen. But there's also this crazy risk around that I'm trying to say I do not think it is worth it. As someone who has vlogged, there's other ways to, like,
how do you know you're not overstating that risk? Like, how many people are impacted by the negative? Like,
well, that's
many,
why it's an interesting discussion, because we won't really know, because it's
new.
Happening right now, and I think the repercussions will happen in the future. But when I'm looking online, I'm looking at everyone having burnout, everyone freaking out, and we both know how negative it is.
Not just people who are vlogging are having burnout. People all across the YouTube sphere in different categories, gaming, beauty, whatever, people who are not vlogging, who are making content, are also burning out, and that is a lot to do with the culture of YouTube and that algorithm that likes people to crank out content.
Vlogging's exposing your life to that.
Yeah, I don't disagree. There's a lot of pressure, but I personally do not see the difference between Instagram and vlogging. You show your life. You curate your life. People on Instagram, you included, are not posting photos that are just, like, all-encompassing. They look great. It shows your life is great. You're keeping up a persona. Not only the pictures, but then the stories, like, doing the most fun things that you ever do. And only you're not recording the times when you're, like, feeling bummed out and feeling at home. Everyone has to manage this kind of lifestyle now. And so I think, like, that on the surface is just something everybody deals
with. So you're saying that you think that Instagram photos are vlogging? Because I don't.
I wouldn't call it vlogging, but the criticism you're giving to vlogging, I think, can be applied to photos as well. People using hashtags, people whatever, plenty of people use Instagram to try and find audiences, to make business off of it, to be a fitness model or to be a drag queen or whatever. Like, everyone's using it to, for the most part, for their pictures, but their stories as well. And I don't really see why then you wouldn't criticize that. Vlogging is just an extension.
Because I do think vlogging is different. I think
it is a different level, but you're only seeing one side of it. And I do not disagree that it can be abused, that it can be done wrong. And I think there is a really shaky line, especially when families are involved with kids. In fact, there probably should be laws, and maybe
there
YouTube should
step be laws
in around, like, you
YouTube
can't film and exploit your children.
Yeah.
But I just think you're missing the aspects of vlogging that, like, bring
soul. So what are those aspects?
I think it's nice that you don't want, you've never been interested in vlogging yourself, and you've never been interested in watching vlogs. So I think what you're missing is that, like, intimate connection. It's like, in some ways, on the one side,
what vlogs are you talking about that you've been so interested in?
There's people that I watch.
Their names.
No, I don't want to talk about it because it's, like, embarrassing to have to say, like, I like just watching some people because I find it fascinating.
You do?
Why are you trying to call me out like that?
Because I don't know if you technically do watch vlogs.
I do. I don't, like, necessarily follow daily vlogs on a day-to-day basis, but I consume way more YouTube than you do. From time to time, come into YouTube vloggers, come into people who maybe you wouldn't consider daily vloggers, but still are talking about their lives. And there's something about learning from other people. You watch them go through things. You watch them share their emotions. Yes, some people might be exploiting that and might be being fake in their videos, but there are also genuine people. I think you specifically have a hard time being vulnerable on camera. You're not comfortable.
Yeah.
But not everyone's like that. And a lot of people, I think, can take their lives, makes them feel good to share it, and then the people watch also feel good.
Oh, I totally disagree.
It's like reading a book and watching a character go through something. No, it's not the same, and I think books go a lot deeper because it's someone who really thought through it. But vlogs allow you to be introspective by watching other people, and it's entertainment.
But you're talking about the benefit of the viewer, of someone who's watching a vlog.
Yes, but that, I think, applies to the person who's creating the vlog
as
well.
But I don't think that that's true. I think that when you think
about... You think they get nothing from it. You think a vlogger,
I think they get
no reason.
I think they get money from it.
Lots of
I
people
think
don't.
That they do.
So why
think,
were people vlogging before?
Because
you could
I
monetize?
Do. Because I do think that they think it's a really interesting thing. But I'm talking about what we're seeing right now, which is the reaction to people who have vlogged for a long period of time.
It's not just
which
just
is realizing that it's yes, it
there's
is.
There's burnout on Instagram. There's burnout on Snapchat. There's burnout on all these apps.
There's not burnout on
Twitch.
Instagram. What
yes,
are you talking about?
There's fully people who have come out and been like, my entire page is fake. I take 500 photos to get this one perfect one, and then I face tune it, and then I body tune it, and then I do this, and I'm sick of it, and it's driving me crazy, and it's ruined my life, and I'm just exposing this whole
community. Well, then that's a great example of how this that you're subjecting your life to something that's allowing you to become depressed and anxious because you're creating a facade, and that's exactly what vlogging is doing to people. And I think you're right that there could be a benefit from watching vlogs, like especially like when I think about like trans people who vlog their transitions. I'm like, mm-hmm. as a viewer, that can be really important, especially for like niche sort of people, like as you said, who need to try and find themselves represented in something online. That might be a nice place to look at it. But that doesn't mean that that's not at the sacrifice of the actual vlogger, the actual person doing it, who now has to subject themselves to the public.
Okay, but you sacrifice yourself in many ways outside of life. Like if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you get something and you sacrifice something. If you're going to have a family, you get something and you sacrifice something.
And like, I think it's about a balance.
That is a decision that people can make for themselves and for
but
you
not
to project
when they're,
and for you to get to be the one who goes, no, you like that thing, but I think it's not good for
no,
you.
No, but I'm
you
not, I'm talking about you're setting yourself up for a very risky thing because it's out of your control. You can go in with great intentions, but the way that YouTube is designed and the way that the internet is designed right now, we are seeing the backlash of the fact that it is trying to create divisiveness and negativity
online. I
think
you're focusing on one aspect and that does not
but
represent
we,
the whole.
But then I'm like, it's so interesting because we talk about this all the time because you and me
I
are
do
a victim
agree
of
that,
this.
I do
we
agree
stopped
that
vlogging
that
for a reason, which was that we found it exhausting. We found it to be too what? Much work for not enough payoff for us personally.
We're never
going to
agree on this because I loved vlogging. I would love to vlog again. I would.
That
not,
is so not Mitch.
Not on a daily basis. I would love to vlog when we travel. There are things in our lives that I look back on our vlogs, like when we were traveling Japan, Korea. Like I'm like.
I will say that I do enjoy having those. That is
yeah,
true.
Yeah, and I don't. For me, daily vlogging is not for me at all. But and maybe
what do
weekly
you mean?
Vlogging
who is it
also,
for?
I'm just saying, personally, I don't get a creative thrill out of daily vlogging.
Me neither.
But even somebody like Casey Neistat or David Dobrik, like they took it to a different level where they were like, I'm going to make this more of a film. Maybe it's going to be more of a sketch. It's like a hybrid vlog that is something different. It allows them to practice their creativity, and that's their prerogative, and I don't. Like, maybe that's not something I'm interested in doing. I'd rather push my creativity into bigger projects, or not bigger, but like different styles of projects that aren't having to come out every single day. But there are people who do that and enjoy that, and I don't know why we have to take that from them. For sure, we can say, here are the risks. People should be educated, especially kids, to know, like, hey, this looks glamorous. There's a side of it that's dangerous. And if you're chasing fame and if you're chasing money, that's not a good thing. But ultimately, I think vlogging can provide, much like being an entrepreneur, running a business, much like being a musician. Like, you think musicians don't have crazy mental health problems? You don't think actors and actresses have, like, dancers, ballerinas, you don't think they have crazy stress in their life? They
I
do.
I think they do, but I think that another aspect of this is that they get to, I think child actors is a different thing, because I think that that's one thing that, there's so much that we're talking about now, but if we focus on children, yeah, you're right. If you're a child actor, you can be exposed to so much stress, but at least there's laws and there's actually people who are like there to defend you. And but when you think about children actually becoming vloggers online, the infrastructure isn't set up now that I think a lot of people are going to have to suffer so that in the future there can be actual like logistical laws put in place to protect
but every
kids.
Industry does that okay, has that
yeah
pain.
But then I'm saying that that is still really scary.
Doesn't mean you should stop
right,
it means you should be looking
legislated
at it,
yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say is that I think maybe we need to be thinking about this as maybe not a good thing right now until we can figure out the laws around it. That being said,
we
I also
think... We
can't
figure out the laws, though, until there are studies done on people who are doing it.
If you talk to actors and people who are maybe also in the public eye, they probably really pride their ability to have privacy and keep their lives outside
but
as much as they
choice.
Can of the public.
A vlogger is...
But I don't think
letting go
I think
of that.
What I'm trying to say is that they might think it's their choice, but when they press, they might press upload with this like amazing idea in their head that everything's going to be like butterflies. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a very dark side of this that people need to be aware of, and it's very easy to say yes to doing something and not think about the repercussions, and then have those repercussions slap you in the face, which is I think what we are seeing currently
yeah, but you,
online.
You can stop if you want. That's a choice. I don't disagree, but we're just going in circles. You're just saying, yeah, but there are some negative things. There are dark parts of it, but there are great parts of it that you're ignoring as well, I think. And there are things that maybe you don't get that other people do, so why not just let them get that out of that? Both the viewer and the creator.
Because I just don't understand what these positive things are when we see how much stress and anxiety and literal mental health issues are coming from this thing. The fact that we are currently making content on, vlogging content on a platform that does not want nuance, that does not want positivity in order for what it, for its content to do well. Even someone like Casey Neistat's really interesting. I listen to his podcast. I hear the struggles he's having personally with his kids and with his wife because he's deciding to daily vlog. It's ruining their relationship.
Well,
that's
he doesn't
why
daily vlog anymore.
Because of that exact reason. It started to ruin his life.
That was his choice. He was able to go, look, I'm seeing the negative impact and I can stop. YouTube doesn't have a contract with you to say you have to vlog every
day. The only people who have the actual insight into this are vloggers who we are now seeing are stopping because of the negative effects it has had on their lives. And when I think about, I know I'm focusing on family vlogging, but I think that is the thing that is the most scary to me when there's these children who don't have the autonomy or the law on their side, and YouTube isn't stepping in to explain why, how we should stop abuses from happening. Like that, what was it, Daddy of Five? Did you hear about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that was because the algorithm was trying to make them create more and more clickbait type videos, and they ended up literally abusing their children for the views. And if they weren't vlogging, I think they would have had less of an insight or less of a pressure to abuse their kids for views.
Fair.
I just think it's
scary. I mean, like, yeah, that not that it's an excuse, but that happens in other domains as well. Like, parents take advantage of their children to become little actors and actresses, sometimes to become performers, to become whatever. Like,
but they have contracts involved that make sure that when they get on set, they aren't being abused.
Yeah, once they're working. That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. But there are a lot of stories of kids growing up in industries where they were taken advantage of. And even though there are the rules there, they were still being broken.
But at least there would be law on their side to protect them.
Yeah. No, I don't. Okay. So maybe we can agree that, yes, there needs to be a lot of thought, both on a personal and a legislative level and a YouTube corporate level, of how to protect especially kids. Because I think anyone who is an adult has the choice and they can make that choice for themselves.
And I do think
but
that
I think you're just a little out of touch. I think you're just like kind of an old curmudgeon who doesn't like understand in the same way that I don't think you understand like gaming. Neither do I, like in terms of watching people game online. Yeah. But I don't think that's a reason to say that no one should be able to do it. And I don't think that's a reason to say that there's nothing good in it just because I don't get something out of it.
Yeah, that's fair. Fine.
Anyway, okay, well, let us know what you guys think.
We are going to debate this till the end of time. And it's,
I'm curious
God.
On the different platforms that people will think, like on YouTube comments, on Twitter comments, on like
what
Instagram
do you mean,
comments.
Like, who,
if
whether
the
you're
different platforms feel different ways.
Like people who are watching this on YouTube are going to
might actually be like,
vlog.
I like vlogging because I'm. But maybe not. They might also have more insight into the dark sides.
Yeah.
There are a lot of couples who have broken up who vlog, daily vlog, but people break up all the time in different ways for different reasons.
Yeah. That's true.
So yeah, hashtag side note podcast. Let us know if you think vlogging is something you enjoy or if you also see the toxicity in it. You can tweet us at Mitchell Moffitt, at Will Watch Me PLZ, and let us know what else you want us to debate on this podcast.
And if we were to do a vlog, what should we do it about?
Yeah, if like we were to relaunch the vlog, maybe we just do it. I would love to just travel and do vlogs. That'd be so fun.
So now I'm just like feel like such a burden because I really enjoy vlogging while traveling because it's like a diary that
because
I never
you get
do.
Something out of it and you only care about things that you have things about.
Okay, oh my God, whatever. But
okay, no, I'm going. Thanks for listening and watching, and we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.